You're listening to Full Guard Fight Radio. Fight Radio. Fight Radio. Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Well, hello. Are you there? How's it going, Skippy?
Oh, pretty good, man. How you doing tonight?
Oh, good. It's just as awkward as the last time we did a show together.
Well, everybody out there, welcome to Full Guard Fight Radio. It is Tuesday night, the home of the new time slot for this show. Tonight, I will be guest hosting. I will be playing the part of London. Carl will be always playing the part of Carl the Madman, the best producer and greatest owner of any website in the world. I will try to do my best to uphold the standards that London has laid before me, and hopefully this should be a pretty rocking show. I'm super excited to be back in the saddle, so to say, working a show with the guy that started everything for me in this business and the guy I've done this with for so many years, my partner and probably one of my best friends in the whole world, Carl. So it's great to be back with you, buddy.
Yeah, man, it's definitely been a while. I don't even remember when the last time it was we did a show together.
Probably right before the baby was born, or right around.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Time. So, I would say, what, a year and a half? A year?
Yeah, well, she's 22 months old now, so, yeah, to be getting close to 2 years, I guess.
Wow. Well, it's great to be on here. Since we're on here together, why don't we tell the fans, first of all you great fans support all the different shows from, you know, Cage Fire Radio, Cage Zombie Radio, Full Guard Fire Radio, MMA Madhouse Live, and shows we've had on this network over the years, and shows that are coming and support the website at MMAMadhouse.com. We really want to thank all you guys and gals, fighters, promoters, who have helped us by voting for us to win Florida Website of the Year and GFL.TV's MMA Website of the Year for the coverage we do. And in 2014, we're going even bigger, folks. You know, we've got a little bit of time tonight before our great guest, the champion for World Series of Fighting, Steve Carl, joins us, which is going to be a great show. But this first hour, you know, we're going to have a little bit of time to talk. So I'd like to talk about 2014 real quick with MMAMadhouse.com. Carl, you saw today Contenders Promotion based out of the UK. We're officially on their site as a website to come to for news about their league. And anybody out there who doesn't know anything about Contenders Promotion, this is run by a guy named Gary Bell, a great, great guy. And I guess around 2008, he finally was like, look, it's time I run a promotion. I get out of the ring and start working the promotion side. And by all accounts, he's probably the number one kickboxing, Muay Thai kind of event in all of the UK. I would say he's done so well with his promotion. I know he's now working with Super Combat. You know, somebody that we're really deeply in love with as an organization. They do amazing stuff. around the world. So it's really nice, once again, you guys see the expansion. It's not just MMA. It's not just kickboxing. It's not just judo. It's not just sambo. We try to bring you guys everything, amateur, pro, international, local. And once again, this is us, you know, just growing, just trying to help you fans get a better insight to what's going on in the different sports and the promotions and leagues around the world. So all you guys should get out there and go check out contenderspromotion.co.uk. You guys can also find them on Facebook just under Contender Promotions. These guys have nailed it, folks. Coming up, Paul Daly fighting on their card for the title at the Easton Sports Academy February 15th. Anybody out there who doesn't know who Simtex is, he's famous for multiple reasons. And to me, it's not for that cheap shot. It's for his power in his hand. It's for his ability over the years to beat people. It's ridiculous. And I think, Carl, this is the best thing for him. I've truly felt that he should play more in the stand-up world and less in the MMA world, because if it's more suited to him. And it's really cool to see that, you know, Bell and the Contender Promotions group got him to sign a contract to come fight for a K-1 title. So,
yeah, that's exciting. Definitely exciting. Looking forward to that.
You know, once again, us working to get the fans what they want. We have so many fans who come to us who want to know about MMA, but also want to know about kickboxing and Thai fighting and so on and so forth, boxing. And we're trying our best to bring you as much as we can from, you know, the regional scenes and the local scenes. You know, we're now working in China with Rough China. Carl, you know, that's something I'm really, really also excited about this year. That's a huge, huge door for us to open up to China.
Yeah. Put it lightly.
Yeah, I was super, super excited, honestly, Carl, when I saw the program guide for the event and that back page. Over half that back page is our logo. I was just like, wow, you know, and to know that this year we will have exclusive interviews with not only the owner of Rough China, but exclusive interviews with fighters. We'll be getting great content throughout the whole year, including, I understand that they're going to be redoing the TV show again, their version of Basically Tough. It's called Rough Journey. And but this time it will be dubbed in or subtitled in English. But it didn't bother me. I watched the whole first season in Chinese, and, you know, I had no problem with that. I enjoyed it. It was an amazing season. So, you know, just, Carl, just, you know, trying to do more for the fans, you know, and thank them for, you know, supporting us and voting us for these great awards. And, you know, once again, like I said, you know, both Joel at Rough and Mr. Bell at Contender Promotions, you know, we're just ever expanding. We've got guys in Norway. We're working with guys in Tunisia. We're now, Cat's kind of out of the bag, but we haven't really given a major press release on it, but looks like Live from Bangkok will be coming to the Madhouse Networks here real shortly.
What?
You know, yep, more Asian MMA coverage. Huh? A live weekly show covering the Asian MMA scene by two expats, one being the Hebrew Hammer himself, which I hear he's trying not to go by anymore, but I love that nickname, Ben Stark.
Yeah, I heard you getting shit for that one.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I'm trying to get away from the whole nickname, but I'm like, okay. So Ben Stark, Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach out of AT&T over at EMAC in Thailand, and then the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend himself, John A. Nutt, professional fighter in multiple classes, mouthpiece for Dare Fight Sports. I mean, yeah, this is going to be a great deal for 2014. You guys, you know, we have the great shows like Cage Zombie, who is really bringing you, you know, a regional scene from Ohio Valley as well as the state of Florida in the southeast, and then mixing in some upper pro events in there as well. You know, we have MMA Madhouse, our flagship show for 3.5 years now, every Wednesday. You know, we cover everything and everyone. It doesn't matter. We've had everybody at every level on that show. We have the girls when they're not tied up doing cage fire radio. It's great, you know. I mean, we've got great coverage for all the fans.
Yeah, man.
Oh, so, okay. You're back with me.
You're back with me, Skippy. You know, the guy who sits in the shadows.
Hey, Carl, we did this for so long. I mean, it's funny because, like, when these guys and we open new shows, you know, Carl, I listen to the first 10, 20 episodes religiously. I make sure I'm there to help them, give them any advice. But it's so funny because you were just talking earlier about going back and listening to the shows we did in the beginning. And I always felt like, except for my very first show, we did pretty good, you know? And then you tell me today that you went back and listened, and you're like, nah.
Episode one.
Well, you know, and that's another thing. All the fans, you know, when you guys go to MMAMadhouse.com, you guys can check out all our podcasts. They're located on the right-hand side of the screen. You can click onto the actual blog talk link and go back and check out our archives, which is, like we just said, over a couple of years old now. We got hyperlinks to follow all of us on Twitter and Facebook. And check out all our great sponsors, man. Draco, Impact Sports, Jax Media, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, and so on and so forth. We got a lot of great sponsors. And speaking of, you should tell, I've tried to tell Matthew that Draco is the correct way to pronounce it. He keeps telling me it's Draco, and it's Draco because you guys are Canadian.
Okay, I'll take your word for that. I've heard it said so many different ways now, I have no idea.
Well,
Draco is what
I've
always said.
Yeah, I'm going by the great, you know, show announcer that we have on all our shows, and he calls it Draco.
That's true.
And, I mean, he is the man with the golden voice.
Don's Voice.
Yes, sir.
Follow him on Twitter. At Don's Voice on Twitter.
Hey, and by the way, folks, why don't you guys, next time you're sitting around, hop over to MMAMadhouse.com. Check out some of the great news articles, interviews, press releases. You know, just recently, you know, we put up some stuff about Raheem, who's making a big fight here in the state of Washington. Coming up next weekend, or this weekend, which will be out live for results and photos, with Delaney Owens. She's going pro at Sugar Creek. Rage in the Cage, Oklahoma City. We've started working with this group, and I'm really, really impressed with Kimberly. She's been doing a lot of pre-fight interviews, and she sends them right to us. So if you guys really want to get to know, so far I think there's about 5-6 of them up. Head on over to MMAMadhouse.com and check out those great interviews, man. There's a couple of good ones, including that one, Houston Stout, man. Wow, folks. Go over there, look up this story. This kid will move you like you would. Wow. I mean, you talk about a kid who had every possible wall put up in front of him, and MMA was his purity, his savior, his way to enjoy a life again. And nothing that was put up was his fault. And he just had to bear it and suck it up. And what a great, great story, man. Yeah, you guys can find everything, man. We've got some great stuff on Super Combat up there. We got some stuff on the Road FC, a great Korean organization you guys should really be paying attention to. Did you get to read that?
They got a lot of things planned for 2014 here. They're going for it.
14 events, man.
Yeah, man. That's killer.
Yeah, I'm super, super pumped. You know, excuse me. You guys can find some great stuff. There's an article up there by D. Webster, DJ Reed, out of Bangkok. It's called Dare, Seeing Talent, Well Wishes for the New Year. Great little, like, maybe 3-4 minute read. With a fight video added, man. You guys should really check that out. He had a great little piece. We got the great article from our boy, H.R. Baker, throwing it down with Little Miss Felice, the little bulldog, parent. she definitely did a great little interview with them. Yeah, dude.
That is a really good interview. I enjoyed that.
Do you know who I'm pumped about? Go ahead, Carl.
Nope. Well, I was just going to say, dude does great, great work. I loved his interview.
Oh, yeah. You know, Baker really has a flavor for doing this, and I'm so glad he's part of the team. Speaking of great interviews, later this month, Carl, on MMA Madhouse Live, Wednesday nights, I get Lou Nogueira, the kickboxing legend, Hall of Famer. He's been inducted into so many different sports Hall of Fame, kickboxing, karate. I mean, it's just the guys run one of the greatest kickboxing organizations on the East Coast and single-handedly has had, I would say, one of the top most successful MMA organizations, definitely top three in the United States. And he's produced over 70 fighters that have gone on to fight at Zuffa level. So, I mean, the guy must be doing something right, you know? I'm super pumped to talk to him, though.
Zuffa level. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's news to me. You're breaking news. You haven't told me that.
Oh, Arena Combat. I got Lou Nogueira.
You're surprising me with stuff. What the hell? I thought we were supposed to be partners.
I got some surprises.
Now I'm pissed off.
Well, here, I'll give you a rundown and see who's going to make all the fans drool. Like I said, I got Lou on the 20th with two fighters. Ooh, January 22nd, folks, you're going to hear it here first before anybody. Madhouse to hold the first annual Cubicle to the Cage reunion show January 22nd.
Awesome.
Yes. We're going to have Ryan Shappy on the 15th with Mark Pavlich and Kurt Southern. I got Brandon Hempelman this week, World Series of Fighting Fighter. I've got Bill Smallwood headlining Rage in the Cage, Oklahoma City. Yeah, we got us a good little lineup. And we got an all V3 show on the 13th.
Awesome. Next week, London and I are going to call in to our friends at Bluegrass MMA Radio. While they're doing their show, we're going to join in their show from our show for about 20 minutes.
Now, that's cool. Big shout-out to the boys. I really, you know, I love what Bluegrass is doing over there. You know, we're big fans of them. They definitely are huge supporters of us. I know that Gary likes to jam out on to my show on Friday night. That show's just...
Yeah, well, their show is live Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. So, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but when I booked our new time slot for Full Guard, after I had booked the first 2 weeks, I was like, shit, I'm cutting into the last half an hour of Bluegrass Radio. And I was just... So I started talking to Gary, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, week three we're going to move to 8 because I don't want to cross into your guys' time. And what do you say week two we give you guys a call at the end of your show and the beginning of our show? And he was all over it. So it's going to be fun next week.
Hey, I guess Baker is listening. I didn't even know Baker was listening, man. If I'd have known, I wouldn't have been so so nice about it. I would have been more like, yeah. He can't write. Would he go to school in Texas?
Big shout out to Baker.
I know Baker will be covering show fights. I believe, yeah, show fights this weekend he's covering them. You know, this weekend's going to be a good little weekend for some MMA folks. But you guys know, Carl, you know me. I'll find MMA any day.
I know, yeah. I know what those 3 a.m. Text messages are like.
Yeah, last night I saw like at 2 o'clock in the morning you had looked at it. And I was like, oh, shit, I hope you wake him up.
Well, you know, I don't sleep either. half the time it's not for a good reason, though, just because I can't sleep.
I've actually had people tweet me and ask me to quit posting.
Yeah, I believe it.
Like, especially, like, if I catch an event, like, you know me, I'm really big into the Thai scene and the kickboxing scene. So, you know, I've got all the Mylamar and India and Laotian and Cambodian and Thailand TV channels so that I can catch that stuff. I've got the TV guide all locked down so I know what days. I mean, I even know where to find fight cards. And I'll be watching an event with Lepaki, man, like 2 o'clock in the morning. We'll be tweeting like every 30 seconds or posting on Facebook. Oh, did you see that knockout? And people will be like, dude, stop. Just stop, man. We're trying to sleep. And my phone just keeps going off. Notification, notification.
I can relate.
So,
I gotten used to it, though.
Yeah, but you start to think about it, and it's funny because, like, these people follow me, you know, and follow MMA Madhouse and stuff for local MMA news. Maybe sometimes we just have more news than they're ready for.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're tweeting stuff out at 2 in the morning, it's 4 p.m. in China, though.
That's it, and that's the whole thing. That's why, you know, like this Friday night show is the reason it comes on the time it does is because when it starts, most MMA in the United States and Brazil and Germany is all done for the day. But just starting in Bangkok and the Philippines and Russia will be events. So it's for me, it's perfect because it's right around 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, events in Asia start. So I love it. I really do. Though the word day tweet-wise was, I don't know, maybe I think it was late October, early November, Go Fight Live TV, who we work with, they had 7 or 8 events going, and I literally tweeted 311 tweets that day.
Holy mackerel, man.
Yeah, Twitter sent me a thing asking if I was a business.
Oh, really?
They're like, yeah, they sent me a thing saying that the amount of because they actually blocked me for a little bit from tweeting because they said I was coming across as spam, like some kind of business. So they asked me for my business name, and I was like, it's a personal account. I'm just tweeting out stuff from events I'm watching. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. And they reinstated my Twitter account. But, yeah.
Well, if it was going to happen to anybody, it'd be you.
Twitter. You got to love it. Speaking of Twitter, there's some good events going on this weekend. Obviously, anybody out there who's, you know, paying attention to Go Fight Live, we have, I believe it's show fights this weekend on Go Fight Live. We also have, well, it's Show Fights and Brawl Inc., Boiling Point and Sub-Zero. What? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I was like, hold on a second. They're putting on 2 events, but Brawl Inc. and Show Fights are 2 separate companies, actually. So they're doing, let's see, here we go. Show Fights Brawl Inc. are back with a huge doubleheader as they present Boiling Point and Sub-Zero from the Radisson Hotel and Convention Center in Branson, Missouri. The season opener, January 18th, will be an epic MMA card which features 3 title fights, along with a card full of exciting matchups. Follow H.R. Baker for live results.
There you go.
Look at that. So we've got that. We've got Blackout Fighting Championship 16. We've got B3 fights, Johnson versus Johnson. What else do we got? Oh, we got Ultimate MMA Showdown.
The first B3 pro card.
Yes. All pro. That's going to be sick.
Yeah, man. Those guys do a great job. I'm excited for them to go pro, do pro events now.
Oh, I am too. I am too. I think they could become like a Showdown spike, you know, like where for a 5, 6, 7 state radius, that's the place you go. We've also got World Gladiator Fight League, the Southeast qualifier from Birmingham, Alabama. And then we have Ultimate MMA Showdown from the Mosley Manor in Pomona, California. Live MMA action. Doors open at 7.
I'm a couple of weeks away from any events up in my way here. We got Battlefield Fight League coming up. MFC, of course. MFC 39. Hard Knocks. Let's see what else is coming up here. Those are the three that are popping into my head that are a couple of weeks out. I'm looking forward to all of those events.
I just realized the last event, the Ultimate MMA Showdown, that's Sugar Shane Mosley, the boxing promoter.
Oh.
Huh. I just really read into it. It's at the Mosley Manor. So is it at his house? Oh, you got to be. How sick would that be to, like, just be rich enough to throw MMA fights at your house? I mean, we obviously...
Like Playboy fights or whatever.
Or like our buddy over in Amman Jordan, the prince who threw the fights, that put the cage in the middle of the pool and had our logo up on the wall, like 5x20. That was so cool.
That was pretty cool. You could always, you know, host an event in a barn with hay bales.
Oh, Carl. Zing! That is a good one right there, buddy.
That's what I'd have to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because we have the Madhouse MMA Championship belt from Pro-Am Belts. They made us a belt. And a couple weeks ago, a company that I kind of like a lot, they were like, hey, you know, we're having a card coming up in February. You know, what's the chances we can get you to put that title up for a super fight? And I thought about it, and I was like, you know, I can't do it. I just can't, man. I mean, obviously you, my best friend and partner in this business, got me this bad boy, and I keep it with pride in the studio. But I started thinking, how sick would it be as an amateur kid to go home with that belt? I mean, that would be like the coolest belt you could ever win as an amateur.
Yeah, I agree. Killer.
Yeah.
They wanted your belt, did they? There's been a lot of people after your belt.
Yeah.
Well, I see your buddy Derek had it for a day or two. Uh-oh, I just lost Skippy. He muted himself. He's hacking his lungs out or something.
Yes, hey, wow, dude. Man.
Oh, there you are. Oh, hey, you're back.
I'd like to thank the great Carmack for co-hosting tonight.
What are we? 10 minutes. 10 minutes away from our guest of the evening. I got you a really easy name to pronounce.
Steve Carl.
I know you struggle with that as much as I do sometimes. So let's keep it simple.
The champion
with an easy name to pronounce.
Dude, and not only any champion, he's the World Series of Fighting champion. And folks, Ray Sefo, man, if you're gonna hold a title for a man, that's a guy to hold a title for. I mean, welterweight champion for Ray Sefo's organization. Let's be honest. Anybody who watched the Inco Bumbaye New Year's Eve event saw the man who owns and fights Ray Sefo in a fight. It was great, man. It was a tag team wrestling match, but it was good. him and Jerome LeBanner tag teamed up against the Triad. Carl, we grew up on wrestling, our generation, so we understand what it is. And over there in Asia, they are huge, huge fans of it. Unlike, you know, Americans are fans of it, but there's a break to where, you know, either you're a fan or you're not, it seems like, in this country. And over there, it's not that way. And, you know, Jerome comes in and he holds one of the Triad members, and Ray Sefo does the typical, you know, like 40 punches to the body in the corner. And I was like, you know, in real life, he would have killed the guy. The guy would be dead. I mean, the guy would be completely mush on the inside. But for wrestling, I was like, I was like, go get him, Ray, go get him, knock him out. You know, I was like 10 years old again. It was insane.
I haven't watched wrestling for a very long time. I think the last time I watched wrestling was, what the hell was it? Mankind in a tag match with Triple H.
Wow.
That was pretty killer. It was interesting seeing Mick Foley, filled full of thumbtacks at the end of the night. That's for sure.
Right?
Yeah. Like you said, though, yeah, I grew up on that, what I call garbage now, I guess. But it's not garbage. I respect the athleticism, but I've gotten away from the whole scene. Hell,
yeah.
I don't even have time for hockey anymore. So
it's funny. I sat down and caught just the playoff games and the bowl games for football here, and. I get, my team did shitty this year, I guess. I didn't catch very much of it. I read the paper here and there and kept up on ESPN where I could. But I guess, if you're going to miss the season, just watch the last four or five bowl games and watch the playoff games. Because that's, like, every game that I've watched in the bowl games, five of them, they all came down to who had the ball last in the last 30 seconds of the game to win it, And same thing within the NFL. It's like either it was a complete shellacking and it was just fun to watch that team get shellacked, or it was so tight that the team with the ball at the end won.
Yeah. Not like hockey where you got to sit there and watch playoffs for 3 months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we get playoffs next year.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a great time.
There's a big World Series of Fighting event coming up in Canada here in February.
Yes, sure.
Up in Edmonton.
And our good friend, Ryan, the real deal Ford, is taking on Joel Powell. And as much as I don't want to be negative Nancy, Powell's going to have a really bad day, I believe.
I would tend to agree with that. He's tough. Ryan Ford is a machine. He's the real deal, like his nickname says. And that's in the welterweight division. It'll be interesting to perhaps hear what Steve Carl knows of Ryan Ford.
Oh, definitely. I know that I saw some other folks on the card. I'm trying to... I forgot now.
Let's see. I don't know if a ton of them haven't been announced yet, I don't think. But.
Isn't Luis Palomo on that? For some reason, I think he is. Because he tweeted at me the other day. It was like, what do you think? And I was like, he mentioned a fight, and I was like, oh, yeah, dude, that's a great fight, man. You should take that.
Could be.
Here we go. I'm going to jump over and see our friends. Here we go. Okay, so we got for the Canadian welterweight title, Ryan Ford is like as we said, facing Powell. Your undercards are Josh McMahon versus Adam Lorenz, Brandon Dewsbury versus Mark Drummond, and the preliminary card. Oh, we got Tim Hague versus Lee Mean. How did I forget that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's an interesting one.
Oh, yeah. You got Justin Evans versus Stuart Fontaine, which maybe it wasn't Stuart Fontaine, but I swear we've had him on the show back in the day. Dustin Greentree fighting Trent House. House versus Greentree. It's a Greentree House fight. we got Hakeem Dawodu versus Bahrain Youssef.
I love listening to you pronounce guys' names.
I'm the dumb redneck from Texas, Carl, and it shows.
I'm no better. I'm probably even worse. So I'm glad you're doing it.
I got some of them right or close enough. And there's still three fights that haven't been announced yet. But, yeah, that's cool.
Canadian welterweight championship fight, eh?
Could we see a champion? Well, you know, honestly, with them now doing World Series, I believe, but Philippines, Mexico, Brazil, Central America, and Japan. We could see categories, titles for each category, you know, and then maybe we see some, you know, like Japan title holders versus Brazilian title holders, or maybe a card that has all title holders.
That'd be something. It's definitely a possibility. Be interesting to be a fly on the wall at the World Series of Fighting headquarters for a few days, that's for sure.
Oh, that's something else we can talk to him about.
Uh-oh. Gotta mute myself.
Okay. Well, folks, it's just me and you. And,
okay, I'm back. I had a cuckoo clock that was going off right beside me here, so I thought I'd spare everybody the cuckoo of my clock. Here in the Canadian asylum.
We don't have any cuckoo clocks in America. We have them fancy. We have them fancy wrist sundials.
Cool. We don't have sun, so it doesn't work up here.
I was like the other day, I almost got to argue with my wife. I'm like, this cold weather is what Carl and them deal with every day.
Yeah, that's brutal. Sucks. I suppose I should disappear for a minute here and get our guest in queue.
Okay, let's do that. Folks, here
right,
momentarily,
I'll
we'll be talking with World Series of Fighting champion Steve Carl. And we're going to get to talk with this gentleman about a lot of things tonight. Super excited. This guy is a beast. If you guys don't know who he is, there's something seriously wrong. He has fought them all. He has beaten them. It's going to be great. Great night. Hopefully we'll have him here any second. Anybody out there, you guys should remember, obviously, he won Triangle Choke over Josh Berkman to win the World Series of Fighting Welterweight Championship back in October. Before that, he killed Tyson Steele, Blackman, Trace, Hall. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, this guy's a beast, a real beast. I'm super excited to find out. Oh, there we go. Think we have him ready, it looks like. Carl, are we about ready?
Yes, sir, we're ready. Take it away, Skippy.
I would like to welcome World Series of Fighting, welterweight champion, all-around beast, Steve Carl, to Full Guard Fight Radio. How are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I'm actually a little dazed. I got knocked out tonight in practice by my training partner, but otherwise I'm doing pretty good.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm co-hosting for the normal host. He's missing tonight, and I work for the same company and host another show, but I'm more of a fan than media. I grew up around, you know, combat sports in Europe and moved to the States, so I'm a huge fan. So a lot of these questions are going to probably be more fan-esque than suit and tie interview, because that's just how I roll. So the first thing I've wanted to ask you for years, I saw you fight a long, long, long time ago. I guess it wasn't that long, but in the fighting world it was, when you fought Matt, right after you fought Matt Delanox, yeah, you went to Bulgaria to fight for M1 Challenge 13, and I got to ask you, your first time ever fighting out of the United States, how much of an impact did that play in your career looking back today?
It played a huge impact on me because, to be honest, I was scared, like terrified. First off, before I even got over that, I almost got kidnapped. And then when we actually did make it there, there was kind of a little terrorizing, a little hazing going on of the American team, basically trying to mentally break us down. It was just all around, it was just a very scary experience, but at the same time, it was very enlightening and very, I grew a lot from it, and I became a better fighter. My mental got a lot stronger, and it was just a great experience. I'm glad I went through it.
Now, you got to tell me, man. Dude, you got to tell me about getting kidnapped, man. That's just...
So it wasn't, like, huge or anything. I didn't think much of it at the time. But, like, looking back, it was extremely scary. So we first landed in Sofia, Bulgaria, and I didn't realize we had another flight to go yet. And I'm the first American, like, walking out. And luckily, I had met up with the heavyweight at the last stop in Germany. So I wasn't alone. And I was walking out, and some guy was holding a sign saying M1. So I walked up to him, and he says, yes, yes, come with me. And I start going with this guy. And luckily, the heavyweight yelled at me, like, what are you doing, man? I'm like, hey, this guy says he's taking us there. And he goes, no, dude, we have another flight. I'm like, are you serious? And when he came over and started talking, the guy just turned around and started walking away. And that's when, you know, when we got linked up with the other people there, that's when they told me, they're like, yeah, like, they would have kidnapped you and get ransom. Like, holy crap. You know, you're not, when you're just trusting like that, you know, you're at an airport, a guy's holding a sign, and you just automatically go right towards them. Like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't speak the language around here.
Wow. Like, wow. See, I'm so glad I got to fill in tonight to talk to you. You know, I've always wondered, and trust me, I never thought about hearing that as part of the story in a million years. No. You know, you talked about being scared and getting over there. You know, today, obviously, you know, there's more and more organizations growing all over the world. So American fighters are getting more and more of a chance to fight internationally. But usually with a teammate or somebody regionally they know, it seems to be that way. You know, you went over there. Was it you by yourself, no corner? Did you have any team? Or?
I was part of Team USA East. I left the States by myself. I didn't meet up with any Americans until I was in a foreign country. I didn't meet up with the rest of the team until I was actually in Bulgaria. So, I mean, the entire trip I was alone, and I didn't know any of the other people fighting or the manager that was – he was actually the corner for all of that. So, yeah, I also fought in Russia 2 years ago, and it was the same deal, you know. I just go to the airport and fly out by myself and then meet up with the contacts when you get there.
Now, you know, once again, I'm a crazy fan of the sport. You fought for FEFMP, correct? For Battle of the Empires. That's like,
yes.
That's, I mean, for a fan like myself, that they have had some legends fight there. I mean, that's truly like fighting for Pancrase or being able to compete at Bushido, you know. I mean, for me, you know, I don't know about for every fighter, but as a fan who looks up to you guys, I mean, that's got to be cool to have gone over there all these years later with obviously a better name, more known, especially because of your appearances at Bellator. Did you have a better experience? Did you seem to interact better with the fans there the second time?
My experience in Russia was much better than Bulgaria. I was kind of, you know, I've been to Bulgaria and – you know, the fear had got to me there, but I overcame it and won. But going to Russia, it was a complete different experience in a complete different environment. at the Bulgari environment, the people treated us hostile, you know. We were the foreigners. They wanted us to lose. Over in Russia, it was completely different. Everybody was awesome. They were grateful. And they were just huge MMA supporters. I mean, the show itself was amazing. I mean, I've been to hundreds of MMA shows here in the States, and I'm not trying to downplay any show. But they went all out over there, and it was absolutely amazing. The crowd was great. The fans are great. The fighters that we competed against were great. I mean, everybody was just good sports, and it was just an awesome experience in Russia, and I would absolutely love to go back there and fight.
Well, you know, obviously being the champion of a great organization that you are with, you know, World Series of Fighting, and their ever-growing expansion between right now, obviously doing cards in Canada, Central America. You know, obviously, we've heard the Philippines, Japan, Brazil. You know, why not see you fight over in Russia? I agree. I'm very, very big fan. Oplot was my league of the year for the in the whole world. You know, 320 pro fighters got to fight this year on that organization. That's impressive. But they do. They over there, the way they address the sport as a whole is really breathtaking to me as a fan. They're so passionate about it. To see Jeff Monkton get off a plane and have 10,000 people standing there on the tarmac waiting to meet the guy is insane. You don't even see that in America unless you're a basketball player or a football player.
Yeah, but even now that's getting downplayed too much. So we have so much oversaturation of, you know, the sports and Hollywood and all that. Over in Russia, it really seemed like they just deep down appreciated the sport. And that was just really awesome to be a part of.
Now, have you had a chance? Obviously, you get to train with some of the greatest people on the planet. A sport that I find really impressive to watch and fun as a fan is combat sambo. Have you ever gotten to practice or train or play around with that at all?
I have not. It would definitely be fun. It'd be a fun aspect to get into, though.
Well, especially somebody like you, who is obviously ridiculously well versed on the ground, but you know, to have the gi thrown in as well as, you know, being able to just land blows. I mean, that looks like it would be a blast to do.
Yeah, I think it would actually really suit my style well, being able to strike and then have a gi to grab onto. It would.
Yeah.
Really give me a lot more control.
Now, you know, obviously, you know, you won your belt. You've had a little bit of time to kind of enjoy it. Are they starting to throw names out or dates out, or are they starting to get you ready? Because you're a guy who fights quite a bit, and this is probably one of the longest breaks you've had.
Yeah, I mean, there's no official word yet, but I'm thinking John Fitch in March is where I'm looking, and I'm pretty sure that's where they're looking too.
Wow. Okay. Now,
nothing's been official yet. Nothing's been said. But as far as I know, that's my best guess, and that's the best guess that they can give me.
That's interesting. You know. I mean, obviously, everybody knows Fitch is a great competitor. You know, it's one more great notch on your belt. I personally, you know, think there's quite a few guys in your division that, you know, you could face as well. So, but Fitch is not a bad one. I mean, you know, we were just talking before you came on. The Canadian World Series of Fighting welterweight championship title fight is coming up this weekend. Ryan Real Deal Ford versus Joe Powell. I don't know if you know much, because you do focus so much on training, how much you get to follow the other guys in your organization. But if so, do you know anything about Ryan Ford?
Yeah, I know about Ryan Ford. You know, his name's come up throughout the years through different organizations and different promotions. I think we've almost met up a couple times, but something hasn't worked out. Ford, I've watched Ford fight before. He's a tough dude. I don't know anything about his opponent, but I'm sure Ryan Ford will take that one.
Well, that's what we all feel too. But getting, you know, Ryan gets the victory and holds the title. you get your victory over Fitch, would you be open to seeing something down the road, maybe in summer or fall, to where champion versus champion inside the organization to maybe own both, you know, hey, I'm not only the world champion, I have the Canadian championship title too?
Oh, absolutely. I'm the champ. I'm down to fight anybody, and that's the way you have to be. I don't know if that's something World Series is going to want to lean towards, but I'm open for whatever they throw at me. And like you said, I like to fight. I don't like to sit on the bench. And, you know, since I've been with them, I've been on pretty long breaks, and I don't really like that at all. I understand their first year because they only had, you know, six shows. But now they have a new deal. They're going to have a lot more shows, so I'm going to be expecting a lot more action. I definitely want to get in there and fight some more because, you know, a fighter's career is not that long if you really sit down and look at it. And if I'm only fighting twice a year, I'm not going to get a whole lot accomplished. So I want to get in there, and I want to mix it up a lot more.
And, you know, once again, you know, I bring fan questions more than media-style questions. That's why, you know, I brought that to you. And that's why I'm bringing this next one to you. As a fan, I personally feel as long as the champion's healthy, we should see him compete four times a year. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a break can be the most devastating thing to a fighter. I don't know about some of these other guys, but I've been doing this a long time, and, I mean, I do this alone. I don't have anybody that tells me to get up and go do this, come here, do this workout, or put me through a workout. I have to be my own motivator, and I have to get up and put myself through all this stuff. And if I go 3 or 4 months and I don't even know when I'm going to fight again, I'm not in fight camp mode. I'm not training 2-3 times a day. I'm not getting out there. I'm not getting after it. I'm sitting around waiting, bored, getting out of shape. You know, I'm not saying I'm getting horribly out of shape, but I'm not dieting. I'm eating whatever I want. I'm 40 pounds overweight. I'm taking days off. I'm having fun, and I'm not worried about fighting because I don't have anything coming up. But then the second, if they were to tell me the day I got done fighting, hey, you're going to fight this guy on this day, and if it was 5 months down the road, I'd be training from day one. But if not, like, I just don't have that motivation, you know?
No.
I want to fighting is a huge part of my life, but it's not my only part of my life. And that's what sucks about breaks is you can really fall off if you don't watch it. So that's another big point where I want to keep fighting. Once you get done with the fight, I don't want to take a break for 2 months and then get back into training. I want to get right back in the gym and get ready for the next one.
So how much of this addiction, you could say, to fighting is the repetitive nature of your daily life?
I don't know. It was an addiction at one point, you know. I've been doing this a long, long time, and it's been an addiction several different times throughout my life. But I don't really feel it so much as an addiction now. Like, as now, it's not an addiction. Now it's who I am. It's what I do. I get up, I go to work. I get up and go to the gym, and I work out. I come home, I rest for a couple hours, and I go back and I do it again. And that's my job. I'm clocking in and out. I mean, how many people are addicted to their jobs? But when you have a fight coming up and you have a name, you have a face, you have a date in front of you, that's when it becomes an addiction. That's when you crave going to the gym. That's when I get home from my third workout and I'm like, screw it, I'm putting my running shoes on and I'm going to do some more because I have all this, you know, pent-up energy that I'm ready to go and I need to let it go. I need to let it out.
Now, since you've gotten the title, do you feel like there's more to prove now, or do you feel like it's still the same as it was before? I'm the best I can be every time I walk in that cage. I'm there to win, period. The title didn't make a change.
I don't feel the title has changed me at all. I still feel as if I'm overlooked in a lot of people's eyes, and I have to go out there and prove them wrong. I've felt that way for years. I feel that way now. I feel like a lot of people are still overlooking me. So I still got to go out there and, you know, prove all the haters wrong.
Well, one thing I'll tell you from experience of watching fighters all over the world, champions that are under, you know, that are overlooked and underappreciated are some of the scariest individuals to ever step across the cage from.
Yeah, just the guys that you overlooked are the ones that are going to surprise you.
Now, with that, you know, hunger to get maybe that, you know, respect or that the attributes you truly deserve from this, you know, obviously beautiful career you put out in front of the fans, do you feel like beating down John Finch like you have everybody as of the last 2 years, two and a half, almost 3 years actually, is this, do you think that that name will help secure you and lock you down in not only the fans and the fighters' eyes?
I don't know. I believe it'll help. But I think the biggest thing that's always hindered me is there's nothing else that goes with my name. I'm not coming from a big-name gym. You know, I'm not training out of a large city or anything. I fight out of a small town and a no-name gym. You know, I just have no publicity that comes with me when I walk into that cage, whereas a lot of other fighters do. You know, a lot of fighters that train at these big gyms, you know, they're not from that area. They're not from that place. They went and became a fighter somewhere else and then left and went to that big gym. And they can be at that gym for 2 weeks or they can be there 2 years. But either way, when they walk into that cage, they're a prodigy of that gym. Doesn't matter if they were there for 2 days. If they're fighting out of that gym's name is stuck with them. And automatically, people think differently of them. And when I walk in that cage, it's just me, and everybody's kind of like, who's that guy? I don't know. That's just kind of the way I feel sometimes.
But you're right.
Kind of the way it goes down.
You're 100% right. Look, I mean, from amateurs to the biggest names in the business, in 3.5 years working with Carl at MMAMadhouse.com, we've interviewed them all. We've talked to managers, promoters, sponsors, amateur champions, you know, guys who were offered UFC contracts and ended up going to prison instead because of piss poor. We've seen everything, and I will tell you what, I have noticed that that is the truest statement out there, and a lot of people, especially fighters, are afraid to admit that. And the honesty in that statement and the true, pure innocence of it is beautiful, man. I mean, it's true. I've seen a fighter who went to a gym, a well-known, reputable gym. Like you said, he was there for 18 days for his last bit of his camp, and next thing you know, he's a such-and-such fighter. Even though he spent the last 3 years working out with the same 8 guys in a small town gym like yourself. But because he went up there, now that's all. He's such and such fighter, such and such fighter. Even though he's never even gone back to that gym since then. You know, it's sad. I mean, I think, you know, as a fan, and I think Carl will agree, and most of the fans who follow us would agree, it doesn't take a big-name gym to make a champion. It takes a fighter who's got talent, heart, drive, dedication. You know, that's what it takes. I can have all the talent in the world, and you can put me at a Rufus or at a Jackson's, but if I screw it all away and don't focus and don't train hard and don't put in the real time and assume I win every fight without trying, I'm going to end up being a nothing fighter in the end of it.
Yeah. For that exact reason is the reason why I'm still where I am. I mean, honestly, I've had people urging me, begging me to move for years. And the one reason why I haven't ever left was I wanted to make it on my own. There are several guys that have made it to the big show from where I'm at and the gym I train at, but none of them made it on their own. They all left and went to Duke Rubis or went to Miletic. They took off and went to all these other big gyms, and as soon as they went to that big gym, bam, they got their shot. And I wasn't going to play that game. I'm like, you know what? All the gym needs is somebody to stick around and make it and then open the door, and everybody else can come walking through it. And that, for the most part, that's actually worked, you know. The bigger fights I get, the bigger fights I'm able to help my teammates get. And the more big fights my teammates get, the more they come looking at my team saying, hey, we know you have tough guys. Do you have anybody for this fight? And, you know, that's really helped us out in the last couple of years is just, you know, sticking around, going through the grind. I've kind of taken the long road, but, you know, the journey's a lot sweeter this way.
Hey, we got a fan out of the Midwest. He sent in a question. It says, starting out after 5-0 before your first loss to Brian Foster, since that you won 7 of the next 5, was that a wake-up call, and what did you do, if anything, different to get your training to a higher level?
After Brian Foster?
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, after Brian Foster, I flew home for Christmas 3 weeks later, and I got in a head-on car collision, and I shattered my leg. And I was living in Texas before then, and I moved back home to Iowa and rested and rehabbed, and I didn't start MMA for a year and a half later. And that was the moment I was talking about when I had the drive, you know. I had the drive before that, then I got hurt, and they told me, hey, you're never going to be able to fight again, you're never going to be able to play sports or do anything, and the drive just got stronger. And after that, it was, you know, I was fighting with a broken leg with a rod in my leg, but it was proving everybody wrong. Nobody thought I could do it. I mean, my own family told me I needed to stop, I needed to go get a real job, and I needed to quit this MMA thing. And now they're all behind me. They all got my back. They saw quickly once I started fighting up here, and they got to see it. They saw quickly how good I was, how talented I was, and everybody got on the bandwagon. But at first, nobody was behind me. And that's what drove me to win. That's what drove me to achieve success.
Wow. You know, dude, I'm telling you right now, you were like probably one of the greatest guests we could have had. I mean, what you're speaking is what so many amateurs need to hear. I mean, and it's great. And I've got another fan question for you. It's just, how would you compare the competition in Bellator versus World Series of Fighting, and do you feel one had tougher competition?
I think competition in both organizations is high. World Series of Fighting, the difference is, the competition has a name. Most of the guys I'm going to go up and face, like, I know them, everybody knows them. Bellator, you're still facing tough guys, but a lot of them are being brought up. You know, you're coming up in these tournament formats, and they're bringing up new guys. A lot of guys in World Series have already achieved a lot in the sport that everybody knows about. And I don't know. You can't really compare either organization as far as fighters goes. I like fighters from both organizations, but fighters come and go, so the talent levels change all the time.
Very well put. Now, with that being said, you touched on something. You were part of the original design of Bellator when they first started, the 8-man tournaments outdoors at cool venues. They were their own entity, their own product. They weren't trying to compete with the Zuffa machine. I got to ask you, how enjoyable was it to fight back then for that organization under that format?
Yeah, I liked it. It was good. You know, to me, it was fulfilling a dream. You know, it was making it to that big stage and, you know, showing everybody I could do it. I never wanted to be a world champion. I never wanted to be the best in the world. I never wanted to fight when I started out. All I wanted to be was more confident in myself. And then I figured out I was good. And then I got hurt. And that's why I came back, because I wanted to prove to everybody, hey, I can compete with the best in the world. And when I started fighting for Bellator, that was the culmination of a dream, you know, proving to everybody that I can fight top-level competition. I mean, that was great. I loved it.
Now, you're a guy who enjoys, obviously, you've said earlier, and anybody who knows, you like to fight. You love to fight. Do you think we should have more of those tournament-style formats in the United States?
You know, I don't know. I wouldn't... The best thing about the tournament was, I mean, you had a fight lined up immediately. It was right there. I wouldn't mind doing, like, day of tournaments. You know,
yeah.
three fights one night, you know, old pride rules, you know. Real tournaments. Because usually the second your fight gets over, you give yourself 10 minutes and you are, like, revved up, ready to go. Either that or you're drained. But most of my fights, you know, majority of my fights are over in the first round, and I'm usually in the back, not in the best mood. The biggest critic of my life is me, and I'm always in the back like, oh, I could have done this better. I could have done this. You know, my mindset was off a little bit. I wish I could just jump back in there right now, and that's when I'd wish we'd have day of tournaments. I wish I could get back in there and be like, all right, I'm ready for round two.
Now, you know, you're telling two guys right now who are huge fans of that, not only style, but the rounds they used, and especially the judging of a fight in its entirety, instead of round by round on a 10-point loss. As a fighter, would you be willing to go back to those time limits of 10-minute and then a 5-minute?
Yes, I mean, I'm willing to do whatever, because I believe a fight shouldn't be judged anyways. A fight should be finished. You know, if you're out there fighting, like actually fighting, the fight's going to end. Either you're going to finish it or you're going to be finished. But if you're out there scoring points, then it's going to go to a decision, and it's going to come down to points. And that's where you have all, that's where all the controversy comes into the sport, is in the judging, in the scoring, and in bad calls. And, you know, this guy got robbed of the fight. Well, the fight, you know, they gave you 15 to 25 minutes for you two to decide who the winner is, and neither one of you did. So now it goes to these other guys who aren't even fighting. I think with a 10-minute round, if you're out there going after it, there's not a lot of people that should make it out of a 10-minute round.
I agree 100%. I'm telling you what, championship belt or not around you, brother, you're always welcome to come kick it with us. I mean,
I appreciate that.
I mean, me and Carl are talking, you know, and we're like, wow, man, this guy is legit. I mean, one of the realest fighters we've ever interviewed. I love it. I mean, all the pretentious bullshit, all the, you know, big egos that a lot of guys tend to get. All the I'm better than my old people that got me here mentality that we see. I mean, none of that took effect with you. And I mean, I maybe it's your upbringing or maybe it's the coach that trained you. But what do you think is the true essence of why you've never become that monster?
It's never something I wanted to do. You know, fame and fortune is not something I ever looked for out of this sport. This is about personal achievement. It has nothing to do with anybody else. I mean, and no offense to you guys, but interviews, all the hype, all the publicity, Twitter, Facebook, everything else, this is all bullshit. I mean, I'm an athlete. I am here to compete, and that's my job. And, I mean, nothing else is in my job description. I am here to get inside that cage and win a fight. And that's all I really need to concentrate on. And too many guys get hyped up in everything else. And if it was up to me, I would just, like, hey, just show up, fight, that's it. Like, nothing else.
Well, before we end this segment with you, I want to tell you as a fan, you know, truly a cool night for me and an honor. Now, to ask you a couple of true fan questions, one, what's your favorite thing to eat?
My favorite thing to eat?
Yeah.
That's a tough question because I love to eat. I would definitely say my favorite food to, like, go out and eat is sushi. I love sushi.
All right on. What is the one thing you miss the most during weight cut, food-wise?
You know, the weight cut used to be really hard for me, and I would crave everything. Everything. But it was because I was cutting weight. And now I don't cut weight. I just changed my lifestyle, and it's too easy. I'm not starving myself. I'm not hungry. I'm not dehydrated, and I don't really crave anything. But if you do it right, you don't cut weight. You change the way you live, and it comes right off. And you can eat as much as you want, but you got to eat healthy. You got to become that fighter. You can't just go out and be like, oh, I want pizza, I'm going to eat pizza. No, I realize there's carbs, there's salt in that. I can't have that. I need to be eating fresh. I need to be eating clean and healthy. I don't count calories or do any of that. I just eat healthy, and I can eat as much as I want, and it'll come right off because I'm going to be training my ass off and burning everything.
Now, one last question before we let you do all your sponsor shout-outs and anybody you want to thank. I on the media side would like to ask you, if you could give me one name in your gym that you think we will see in the next 2 years making big waves.
Derek Maimon. You'll see him next week.
Fail.
He just received the Bazzi Award Knockout of the Year for his last fight versus Rolls Gracie. For his World Series of Fighting debut, he received the Knockout of the Year award, and he fights again next weekend in Hollywood, Florida. I'll be down there with him. He's the one that almost knocked me out tonight. I tried to shoot in on him, and he shot at the same time, and we collided heads. And I went from feet to ass and kind of just looked up and I'm like, uh-oh. He's like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, no, dude, I think you just gave me a concussion. it was like trying to meet a train head on. The guy is so big now, it's ridiculous.
Steve, this is truly, truly a bit of a blessing. I hope you feel free to come on these shows on our network again sometime. And I want you to take this time. Anybody you want to thank, any sponsors, maybe some gym information for fans or fighters traveling through your area to find the gym. Whatever you'd like, this is your time, brother.
I'd like everybody to follow me on Steve_Carl on Twitter, or like my fan page, Steve Carl MMA on Facebook. And I'm going to give a shout-out to a couple sponsors here. VA Mortgage Leader, Violent Gentleman, Warrior Dating, A-Line Iron Metals, GovX.com. I also got to thank Complete Nutrition. I got to thank you guys for bringing me on the show. It was an absolute pleasure, and you guys can call me back and have me on whenever you guys want.
Well, you know, I mean, people look at us because they see our company all over the world, but we're no more than fans sitting in the front row who buy tickets every weekend to go out and support local MMA. And, right, guys, you guys are listening right now to one of the biggest possible reasons I could give you to go out and support local MMA. This guy was fighting local for a long time, and now he's a world champion, one of the best to ever walk the planet. And a lot of people got the pleasure to see him grow and watch him grow. You guys need to go out there and support your local MMA so you guys can see the future world champions like Steve Carl performing. So you guys, if you're in Hollywood, Florida, get out there this weekend, support that event. If you're in Pendleton, Oregon, get out there and support that event. If you're in Bangkok, go out and watch some Lump Kim Ki Stadium Thailand fights. Get out there and support these guys, because guys like me, this is what I live for, watching guys like Steve grow up and fight and getting a chance to interview these great men. This is what we do, folks. We support these guys. So get out there, support their sponsors, buy their T-shirts, follow them on Twitter and retweet their sponsors. Support guys, especially guys like Steve. This is the realest fighter I think you guys will ever get the chance to hear on this network. This guy blew my mind, and I thank you so much, sir, for this wonderful, wonderful show.
I appreciate it, and you're absolutely right. Without local MMA, we got nothing. We can't just go from nothing to the big show. You have to start somewhere.
And you were the poster boy for doing it, like, you know, on your own, building it off your true record, off your true talents. I love it, man. I truly love it. I think that if you can write a book when you're done, it would be one of the best-selling books ever.
Thanks, man. I appreciate the support.
Hey, you go out and enjoy the rest of your night. I know you probably want to get and put your feet up for 5 minutes, you know, so thank you so much for your time, and we hope to have you on again.
Hey, I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you guys in the future.
Thank you. Carl, I tell you what, if dude, he's going down award best interview of 2014 in the category already. I mean, this is how we kick off the year. I can't thank you enough for letting me co-host tonight. Obviously, you know I'm a huge fan. And, I mean, like, I was a kid at Christmas to have him on tonight. And then to find out that this guy is like somebody to come sit on my porch and drink a beer with me? Wow. I mean, Carl, you know, we have too many guys who come on here, the even regional guys who start winning and getting titles, and they start to become bigger than their britches. And this is a world champion of one of the top five organizations anywhere in the world. I mean, dude, and he's just kicking back like he's hanging out with two old school friends from high school on the porch on a Friday night drinking beer. That's just cool as shit.
Killer interview, Skippy, man. You rocked that. Steve Carl was incredible. Incredible guest, and I agree with you 100%. Kicking off the year, and this one's definitely going in the archives.
Oh, definitely, man. He was so impressive. I mean, his mentality, his outlook, his dedication to his family, his, you know, that started him in this business. We see it too many times, guys who do jump ship and forget where they came from. This is one gentleman who never did that, and I hope this guy goes on such a tear. I hope they talk about him being the next Anderson Silva, and I hope he can look back and tell everybody, I did it on my terms, my way. I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, and I did it my way. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. It's a dying attribute in fighters in America today, because fighters fight not to lose. They don't fight to win anymore. And this guy's a guy who's fighting to win.
Yeah, man. Awesome.
Yeah, great show, man. Total great blast, Carl. I'm glad that you had me come join tonight. And I feel bummed that London missed out, but I'm not going to lie. I'm very happy I got to fill in.
Right on. Yeah, no, it's fun teaming up with you again, Skippy. Like usual, you know, I didn't say a word to the guest on the air, but, you know, we had a little chat off the air, which I enjoyed.
Hey, you know, that's just how we do it, Carl, man. Can-Am Connection. We started this stuff years ago. We're still doing it. And every once in a while, we got to show these kids how the old guys still rock.
Uh-oh. The cage zombies are going to be on fire now.
You know, hey, you know, it's hard being black and gifted. I just wake up that way, man. I can't help it.
Right on. Well, dude, you know, I should play.
Wrap it up
and play out some one of our sponsors here. And thanks again, man.
Hey, before you do that, I want to give one shout out, Mr. Gary Thomas of Bluegrass MMA. You guys, every Tuesday, you guys check their show out. When their show ends, Full Guard Fight Radio will be starting. Let's make this a power night of MMA for the two shows. I want to give him some mad love tonight for tweeting out the show after his wrapped up. So big thank you to Bluegrass MMA. Go ahead, Carl.
I agree. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to calling into his show live next week. The end of his show. We're calling in live. That's going to be interesting. I've wanted to do that, you know, for a really long time, except I always sort of thought, you know, doing it sort of unannounced, you know, just find somebody who's doing a show and call in and, you know, and screw around. But this is going to be fun. And in 2 weeks, London and I will be moving to 8 o'clock directly following Bluegrass MMA.
Bam! Play some Bills out.
Right on. Have a good one, Skippy. Thanks again, man.
Anytime, brother.
Confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
You better take a look at the real world, cause this ain't no Mr. Rogers neighborhood. Can you say feel like shit? Yeah, maybe sometimes I do feel like shit. I ain't happy about it, but I'd rather feel like shit than be full of shit. And if I offended you, oh,